land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on into Friday, July 10th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Got a breaking news alert just 7 minutes ago. The nine bills from the 2024 legislative session that House Speaker Matt Hall refused to send to the governor should be presented for signature after the Michigan Supreme Court ruled yesterday, refused to disturb a lower court's ruling. The High Court denied both the House and Senate's appeals request without explanation. The only justice dissenting was conservative Republican rule of law Justice Brian Zara. Zara said that the Michigan Court of Appeals breezed past several issues for the simplest conclusion. And he held that the dispute raises significant constitutional questions about the separations of powers and the judiciary's authority to intervene in legislative issues. The nine bills would allow correction officers to join the state retirement system, lift the caps on how much money public employers can spend on workers' health care benefits, help raise money for the Detroit Historical Museum, and create new protections for debtors going through bankruptcy. Well, January 1st, 2025, Speaker Hall became the Republican Speaker. Democrat Speaker Joe Tate left nine bills on his desk and left without sending them to Governor Gretchen Whitmer for signing into law. Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brings filed a lawsuit February 2025 asking the Court of Claims for them to order Speaker Hall to send the nine passed bills in both the House and the Senate to Governor Gretchen Whitmer for signing. Well, the Court of Claims sided with the Senate and did not order Hall to forward the bills. During oral arguments, the House attorney argued the current legislature has no duty to send the bills to the governor in January 2025 after the Democratic lawmakers who passed the bills failed to do so. So while the Senate Democrats' attorney argued the House failure to present the bills breached the chamber's constitutional duty. As it went after the appellate court, it was appealed to the Michigan Supreme Court. And basically, the liberal Supreme Court, no, we're not going to reverse the Court of Appeals decision. Therefore, Speaker Hall must send those 9 Democrat bills to Governor Gretchen Whitmer for signature. Basically, the highest court in the land has ruled it's over. So we'll see how this impacts the current budget that was just submitted. Is there any appropriations in there that requires them to increase spending? If so, they're going to have to address it. Pretty interesting decision by the very liberal, progressive Supreme Court of the state of Michigan. Short break. We're going to have Justin Michael on. He's running for Congress and he wants your vote. I'm voting for him. Vicky's voting for him. Should you vote for him as well? Short break. We'll be right back.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing. People, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in Northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the North, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number one. Joining us on the line in this time slot is Justin Michael. He's a candidate, been working out there to earn your vote on August 4th primary, Republican, 1st Congressional District in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Trucker Randy. How are you this morning?
Well, I marked my ballot, absentee ballot, I got early, and I voted for you. Miss Vicky's voting for you. Quite a few of our listeners are. But for those that have never heard you on the show before, maybe we have some new listeners. Snowbirds finally coming back. They're tuning in, paying attention, because the election is less than, you know, 27 days away, 26. What is it, the message is, that you want those people to hear who maybe perhaps have never heard you on the show before?
Well, I think the biggest message that we're trying to showcase is the fact that for years, Republicans have been saying, you got to lace yourself up by the bootstraps and get to work, and hard work pays off. And that's exactly what I've done for over 505 days consecutively. I've worked 18 hours a day to try to earn people's votes in this district. And in that, you're going to make a decision on August 4th, whether you want money to buy your vote or whether you're going to respect someone who goes out there and puts in the work, whether you want somebody that says they represent you or someone that shows up to your communities and have those difficult conversations and shows you that they're there for you every single day. I mean, we're on tour right now. We're halfway through today. Marks our 18th consecutive day visiting all 36 counties. We're going to every town, village, city, and township in each one of those counties. So we're at the halfway point of our 36-county and 36-day tour. There's a lot of momentum behind us, and we're putting in the work, and we're meeting people where they are. We're not asking them to come out to fundraising events and fancy dinners. We're just saying, listen, we're going to show up where you're at. We're going to have the difficult conversations needed to move forward, and we're hopeful that we earn your vote, and that's all we can do. We're out there putting in the work every day. We've driven over 100,000 miles in the district so far.
Now, on that point, what has been the interaction? You talk about putting in the work, having tough conversations. What is it exactly you're hearing, and what is it that you can do perhaps differently than the current congressman once you get elected and go to Washington? What are you hearing, and what action steps do you think you can accomplish solving these kind of problems?
Well, the biggest thing that we're hearing when you're talking about how people are struggling right now. The cost of goods and services are expensive across the board. Doesn't matter if it's healthcare, if it's your groceries, if it's your gas, if it's your taxes, whatever it is. Across the board, people are just struggling, and that's really impacting and affecting our economy. And in northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula, we deal with a lot of small business stuff. Our towns are very functional on the small ecosystems that we have, the environmental tourism that we get, and the transient people that come here to enjoy northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula's wonderful summers. And those people aren't traveling right now because they don't have the money to travel. People's fun toys are up for sale. You can look around. You can go on Facebook Marketplace. You can drive down any of the roads, and I've spent a lot of time driving, so I've seen it. Just people's fun toys are up for sale. And that's telling me that the economy is not doing as good as people think it is. I know that they make the argument that the stock market's doing great, but not a lot of people that are younger are invested in the stock market because they're trying to invest in their futures. And so that's a big concern that people have. You know, grocery prices are still high. Some things are lower, some things aren't. But we've got to focus on making an impact. And fiscal spending in Washington, D.C., something we can do. The current congressman has added $20 trillion to the national debt in the last 10 years. And when you look at that focus, like, we don't have balanced budgets in Washington, D.C., and that over time is really impacting our purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. And people feel that. The inflationary factors that come with printing money and spending more than you take in is impacting the country in a negative way, and that needs to change. But on the flip side, when you talk about what people want from their congressman, people want someone to be present, and people want to be heard. And the only way you can do that is showing up in communities every single day when you choose to do so. Go in and speak to people where they're at and have those difficult conversations, even with people that have opposing viewpoints of you. You go in there and you make sure that they're heard and that their issues are being addressed. And sometimes you can help them and sometimes you can't. But being transparent about that is really important. And people just, they want to feel a presence, and that's not what they're getting currently from the congressman. And that's something we will continue to do. As we do every day, we show people that we care about people and that we're willing to listen and we're willing to work with them to make some type of resolve of their concerns.
Now, on that vein, going to Washington, what it sounds like, what I'm hearing you say, is that you very much want to be engaged in the appropriations hopefully, as a freshman, not likely you could get appointed to the Appropriations Committee, but you could definitely introduce some legislation. What is something you think could be introduced that could actually have an impact on affordability, on the cost of living for folks up here in the first congressional district?
Well, we'll go back to spending, right? I think it's even when you're talking about appropriations in terms of being on committees, you know, committees are only a part of it. And then people think that it's an important part of it because you get to make the decisions and you get to pick and choose where things are appropriated. But one of the main concerns is just what is our objective as a country and as a nation in its whole and totality? What are we trying to do for the future of our country? And right now it doesn't seem like we have a plan. Neither side has come out and said, hey, listen, over the next 5 years, this is the direction that we want to do. We've gotten into this election cycle doom and gloom, where every 2 years is just a battle to maintain power and control. But there is never any long-term bipartisan plan on how we're going to make America better, how we're going to focus on helping people in our communities. One thing I talked about earlier in this segment is spending. I mean, it's out of control, and they just continue to kick the can down the road. And, you know, we've heard that now for 26 straight years. We haven't had a balanced budget since 2000. So when you're looking at that from a perspective, we can't afford anymore to do this. And we're not going to be able to afford it as pressures from outside of the United States in terms of commodities and trade, as those pressures start to build, people are looking for alternatives to get away from the U.S. dollar. And that's going to be a significant concern for us and our ability to maintain our strength and security, not only here domestically, but also abroad. So we've got to focus on ways to pivot from that. And when you're talking about passing legislation to try to help with affordability, affordability starts with your currency. And right now our currency is being printed. Unfortunately, the people in the district don't get an opportunity to get one of those currency printers so they can pay their bills. So we've got to figure out a way to stop the bleeding in Washington, D.C. first, and let that impact what we're doing here for our purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. We got to strengthen that. And that's it. Fiscal policy is the most important factor when it comes to affordability, because when they set those agendas, that impacts everything from interest rates to your ability to borrow to your ability to spend and what your spending purchases. So we've got to look at that. And that's the number one thing. Again, we talk about it all the time. Every single politician that runs for office, it's a Republican, says, I'm fiscally conservative, and then they get to Washington, D.C., and they blow a bunch of money. But then again, let's ask why. These people spend millions of dollars on a campaign to have a job that pays $174,000 a year, and you expect them to get to Washington, D.C., and not spend money? That's all they know how to do. That's all they talk about. We need to raise money. We need to win. You know, so I mean, it's a sickness that's in Washington, D.C. It trickles down even to state and local politics, and it's got to change. That's the mindset. I mean, that's why we're running grassroots. I've spent $65,000 to drive around. Do you see presence? Talk to people. Do you see presence? It's not about money. It's about hard work. You know, and that's the exact mentality that I want to take to Washington, D.C. Stop talking. Let's make this about money and start making it about people. What are we going to do for the people of the country? What are we going to do for Americans in the United States? Because for some reason, both political parties have stopped that.
One of the things that the current congressman has been putting out there is that his office has helped people in the district in dealing with the federal bureaucratic agencies and departments. Is that something that you feel passionate about? Is that something you not only would continue to do, but work even harder?
Yeah, that's your job as a congressman. I mean, you have people on staff that are specifically designated for different government agencies to help people, whether it's with passport information, immigration issues, whatever it may be, anything at the federal level. That's literally your job. That meeting with your constituents and trying to understand what the needs are for them in Washington, D.C. and trying to represent them. But the problem is the congressman's super heavy with staffers in Washington, D.C. All the money that they spend goes to the staffers in Washington, D.C. and not in the district. And people feel that. Go ahead and try to call the congressman's office right now. I challenge anybody to call and see if you get someone to talk to, see if they return your emails. That's the difference. You don't get the type of service that's required and demanded by the people of the district. And that's got to change. My mission is to make sure that we have people who are invested in these communities that care about our district and that work here. We will be heavily staffed in the district and light in Washington, D.C., because our money goes further here and our attention to detail is primarily focused on the people of this district. Washington, D.C. has a lot of people there. We can use other offices if we need to write policies and do other things. But if we're going to do something, we're going to do it for the people in this district. And I make a promise to each and every person that's listening on your show and everybody in this district that we will be present all the time in the district. You will never say, where's my congressman? Or you'll never say, my congressman never shows up, because I will be there.
One of the things, I got a text message just now. He said that he's a veteran and still having to travel quite a distance to get health care. Is there anything that you can think of that could be introduced in Washington that could make health care for our veterans easier than it is right now?
Well, right now we have a push. There are a lot of Republicans that want to privatize the veteran health care services, and that would be detrimental to our district because we don't have the facilities or the resources to have that be functional. So one of the things that I would love to see happen is another, especially in northern lower Michigan, to make it easier and more accessible for us to get a VA regional hospital up here. Because right now you're either driving to Saginaw or you're driving to Iron Mountain. And that's too far. And then we have CBOX, and they've done a great job of trying to do that. But they're even closing and Grayling, they're closing the CBOX, going back to Gaylord. So again, you're putting the strain and burden on the veterans to try to get care. And we don't have the community care options that most veterans have because we don't have the resources or the doctors to do it. You have to drive a long way. And this isn't just a veteran problem. This is a problem for all people in the healthcare. You don't need healthcare or trying to get it. So what we're looking to do, I would love to push for us to be the next spot to get a VA regional medical center somewhere up here, whether it's Grayling or Gaylord. I think it would be a great place. Even Sheboygan would be a great place, somewhere centrally located for people to be able to travel, where you have interstates that connect. And that way, in the wintertime, when it's bad roads, you can still get to your appointments. But just have the resources necessary. And it's so difficult right now for veterans to get the health care that they need. As a veteran myself, as a disabled combat veteran myself, you know, I use the VA for health care. I just missed my dental appointment because my dental appointment was in Iron Mountain.
Iron Mountain?
So
You live in Grayling.
Yeah, exactly. 403 miles. Yeah, to go to a dental appointment. So yeah, so I'm just giving you an example. Like I live it too. So I understand the importance of taking care of veterans and the need that we have here in the district for veterans to get better care. And I really hope to push that. I do not want to privatize the VA, mainly because I feel like veterans will fall through the cracks. And I don't want that to happen because they're currently falling through the cracks. Even with community care that we do have, they're waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for appointments, having to follow up, and veterans are frustrated. And we can't have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to give out the website, Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-L, for, congress.com. If you want to contact him or whatever. Justin, people want to ask you some direct questions before they vote for you. What's the best number to reach you?
989-889-4333. Feel free to contact me whenever you want. I'm always available. If I don't answer, it's because I'm busy, but I will call you back.
Okay, very good. Real quick, but slow. The number again, please.
989-889-4333.
Very good. Excellent. Very good, sir. You stay safe on the campaign trail, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for your support. You take care of yourself. Be safe. God bless.
God bless you. Bottom of the hour news break of hour number one. We'll be right back.